Today's daf is Bamatzia daf Kuf Dalet, and we are on Kuf Gimel Amud Beis by the Mishnah as we continue here in the ninth parak, which we started yesterday, the ninth parak of Maseches Bamatzia, parak HaMekabel, the parak much to do with sharecropping and tenant farming, as it's called, the difference between schiris and arisus and kablanis and hakirus, that we continue now for the next part of this parak. So says the Mishnah, Kuf Gimel Amud Beis. Hamakabel sadame chaveiro v'hi beis hashlachan obeis ha'ilan. A person is makabel. A person, again, sharecrops a field from his friend, and it happens to be a nice field. It happens to be a field that has something specifically good about it. What is specifically good about it? Either it's a beis hashlachan, which Rashi explains here to mean mima'ayan sheba mashka usa. It is watered from the ma'ayan. There's a well on it, so it makes it very easy, and it makes it very wanted and desired by the people who sharecrop, or a beis ha'ilan, it has trees on it, and besides the planting of the tvua that is done by the sharecropper, ubishvil ha'ilan ahu chaviva al ha'aris, Rashi says, because of that tree, it's chaviv on the aris, because it has this special quality to it. The problem is, he is sharecropped, and then yavash ha'mayan v'niksas ha'ilan, and then the ma'ayan dries up, or the tree gets cut down. So now what is, does he have any special recourse against the, not against, but having to do with the owner? Because after all, we might say that he only sharecropped it and accepted the terms of the agreement based on the fact that there is this ma'ayan, or there is the tree. But because he didn't say it beferish, we say, eino manachalo min chakuro. We say, sorry, tough luck, you cannot deduct anything from your agreement. Again, if we're talking about, and Rashi points this out, if we're talking about a choker, someone who has to give a specific amount, so he has to give that amount, period. So that's what we're talking about here. If it's a percentage, so that if the field produces less, then mamela you're going to have to give less. If you're going to have to give 15% of the amount that's produced. So mamela is going to produce less here, fine. So that's not the issue. The issue is hakirus, where I'm supposed to give a fixed amount. So in that case, the Mishnah says, even though it has this unique quality and then it disappeared, the mayan dried up or the tree got cut down, I am not allowed to give any less because I didn't explicate it from when I made this agreement. But im amar lo chakor li sade stay by shlachin hashlachet zu o sade beis ha'ilan zeh. But if I specifically say, I don't say it almanas, I don't say on condition, but I say this field, so then that's clear enough. Then I'm allowed to give less because we can assume that it's only because of this special quality of the field, and if the field doesn't have it, so then I wouldn't need to do it. This Mishnah doesn't talk about it explicitly, but this is relating to the larger topic related to Dvarim Shevalev. Dvarim Shevalev, Einam Dvarim, or Dvarim. If I'm thinking something, but I don't say it, does Halacha regard that as saying something? The answer is no. Einam Dvarim, that's what generally we hold. But as we know, there are some cases, the Gemara discusses this in Maseches Kiddushin on Daf Bentes, among other places, that there are some cases where we would say Dvarim. Why? Because it's not Dvarim Shebelev. It's Dvarim Shebelev Ubelev Kaladam. The Gemara talks about cases where a person gives away all of his money because he thinks he has no Yershim. Gives it all away, and then all of a sudden his long-lost son comes. So even though he didn't specify, he didn't make a Tanai, so then we might say that is not called Dvarim Shevalev, and therefore he would get his money back. That's similar to the Seifa in our Mishnah. He didn't say it beferish, but he said it enough for us to say it is not Dvarim Shevalev. There's an interesting machlokas. The Meiri quotes two days in Psachim Daf Lamed Aleph. Do you say Dvarim Shevalev by Dvarim Shebein Adam Lamakom? Because after all, HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows what's in my lave. So maybe when it comes to Ben Adam Lamakom, I should say Dvarim Shevalev Havi Dvarim. There's a machlokas. The Meiri quotes two days. Why is this in Psachim? Bitl Chametz. Right? Bitl Chametz has to do with me and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'm nullifying my Chametz. Do I have to say it? What if I think it? What if I think Bitl Chametz? Is that good enough? That's the Meiri's two deos on Laman Aleph Amid Beis. In the context, the Mishnah there discusses if you have Chametz that a house fell on top of. Chametz shenaf alav mapolas. Mapolas fell on top of the Chametz before Pesach, so the Mishnah says, Harihu kimavur. is like destroyed already. But the Gemara says you have to be mevatel it belibo. Shem lo yivatzlenu nimsa over bebal yatmin. O shem yispakech hagal b'moi v'yavr bebal yeroya. So even though it's kimivuar, you're not going to get to it, you have to do bitul chametz. And the Meiri then quotes, ubitul belibo, yesh ma'arin alav, mitzvah dvarim shebelev, umafarshim bo sheyotzi b'sfasav. Some say when it says bitul belev, it means saying it. Velo amru belibo, elo lelamed, she'eno tzarech lashmi al aznav. It just means that you don't have to say it out loud like tefillah that you have to hear from your own ears. But that says the first day in the Meiri. But really, it could be even in your. It has to be said. It can. Don't take the Gemara so literally. But then the Meiri says the ein sarach lepirishah shekol bein adam lamakom rachmana libavoy. Anything between you and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem focuses on your heart. And therefore, there's no such thing as dvarim shebelev when it comes to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem knows everything that we're thinking. Right? Hear her libi, hegyo libi. So therefore, but what about the first day? So this might be, go to the root of what is the issue about dvarim shebelev edem dvarim. Is it just about, well, we're not sure? We don't know exactly what he's thinking. And therefore, he has to say it. Even if we're 90% sure, it's not good enough. So then we would say, when it comes to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you don't have that suffix. You don't have that 10%. Because Baruch Hu knows exactly what we're thinking. But if you say it's more of a formal issue, even if we know exactly what you mean, if you didn't say it, then halacha cannot take that into consideration. Even though we know exactly what you meant. Still, it doesn't matter. There are formal requirements of speech. And if you don't say something, then the transaction cannot be affected by that factor. So if you say that, then maybe even on the lamakom. You know, if you say bitul chametz requires objective standards, so then even though it's on the lamakom, we would say that it has to be said. Those are two interesting days of the Meiri. Again, Psachim, Lam, and Aleph, relating to our issue that is really the background of our Mishnah of Dvarim Shebelev. Says the Gemara now, hey Chidami, what exactly is the case that the Mishnah is talking about, that if I didn't say anything, then I cannot deduct anything? Hey Chidami, Ilema di Yavashnara Rabba, is it that the whole river that the town is supported by dried up? So why in the ratio of the Mishnah, why do we say that the choker cannot deduct anything? Why can't he say, look, this is something that happened to the whole country, it's not fair to me, I didn't know about this, and therefore, you know, even if you would have had the field, you would have been affected by it. So makas medina, so he should be able to deduct. Right? What is he referring to? This is a Mishnah on Tamar's daf. The Mishnah on Tamar's daf, Kuf Hei Amabeis, says, if somebody share crops on makabel sadam echadeir va'achla chagav o nishtafa, it was eaten by locusts or it was wind blown in makas medina he menachalom in chakuro. If it's makas medina, if it's a makah of the whole country, then you're allowed to be. He can't say, oh, it's your tough luck. It happened to the whole country. So that's the Gemara's question here. If it happened to the whole country, then he should be able to deduct. Amar Papa, you're right, it did it. The Yavash Narazuta, one of the small tributaries that went to his field, that's what dried up. The Amalei, because the owner could tell the sharecropper, Iboy Lecha, Lasuye Bedavla. Right, you should bring water in pails. You know, it's a little harder for you, but, you know, it's still possible. It didn't happen to the whole country, and therefore, you have more of a tircha that you should have. You should bring in a pail, so therefore I'm not deducting anything. The Ritva says here, this line then, this limitation also, the Gemara is talking about going on the Resha, but he says it's also going on the Seifa. We have to do the Ritva today, because this is the last daf of the Ritva that we have in Mesechas Bamitzia. So we'll have to wait till the next Pesachta for the next couple of weeks. But the Ritva says here, on this line, he says, Umina. And from this line that we just spoke about, that he could tell him, you know, come on, you can bring in pails. Umina da seifa diktani menache, in the parallel case of the seifa, where we say he can deduct, because he says this field. So in that case, afilu b'diyavash nara zuta menache. Even if his, if he said this field, then even if it's a little tributary that dried up, he would be able to deduct. V'tayma mishum debekabta amarle. He dafka said, bekbeda kedemrinan, he says, beish shlachin zet, this is what I want. But then he adds, umiyu dafka bediyavish lagamre. V'tzorak lahavi mimerchak benanar gadol. In the seifa, where we say he can't deduct, that's only if it's a huge tircha to have to go and get the water from somewhere else. Avalim nismatu meimav. Lidlos Ma'at Torahu. But yes, I think it applies to the Seifa, that even if his tributaries, if the small ones dried up, he would be able to be menachah. That, but it's only if it's a big tircha. If it's a small little tircha, he should just do it, and he shouldn't complain, and he shouldn't make issues about deductions. Good. Amar Rav Papa, says Rav Papa now, relating to our parak. We've already had two mishnayos in our parak. Right, beginning of Perek HaMekabel, Daf Kuf Gimel here in Maseches BaMetziah. Rav Papa says, Hani Tarti Masnisa Kamaisa, the first two Mishnayos that we have had of our Perek, Mishkachasla, Bein Bechakranusa, Bein Bechablanusa. The halachas apply both to Chakirus and Kablanus. As we've said, Chakirus is where there's a fixed amount that I have to pay you. I'm renting, so to speak, your field, and I have to give you a fixed amount. However much the produce is, I get it. Kablanus and Schirus, right, Arisus, rather, Kablanus and Arisus, that they give a certain percentage of what is produced. That is two different types of arrangements. So Rav Papa says the first two Mishnayos of our parak could apply to both, right? The halachas apply to both. If he said Zeh, if he didn't say Zeh, Beim Bechakranusa, Beim Bechablanusa. Mikan Ve'elach, but the Mishnayos from here on in, De'isa Bechablanusa, Lesa Bechakranusa, U De'isa Bechakranusa, Lesa Bechablanusa. It's only going to apply to one, and the halachas are going to be different related to the other one. Okay, this is a statement. There seem to be maybe some little holes in it. It already starts with Tosfos. Tosfos says in Hani, V'yafagav t'kishem shecholken b'tfua lesa b'chakirus, even though the line that we already had, that just like you split up, right, the fourth line of the parak, just like you split up the tfua, you split up the tevin and the kash, right, in terms of hakolken min agamadina, that doesn't apply to chakirus. Chakirus is a specific amount that he has to give. Why don't you give it a portion? Mikamakom ikar milsa dahinu reisha mairi. That's just an outgrowth of the first line of the Mishnah. And that's why you don't have to worry about that. But already we see it's a little shaky, Rav Papa's statement. And where else do you see this? In a Rambam. The Rambam on that Mishnah that we just quoted about Makas Medina. Rashi says there, that Mishnah about Makas Medina on Tamar's Daf, Rashi says, it's lesa ela b'chakranusa. It only applies to chakranus, where I'm supposed to give a certain amount. So then, that is deducted when I have this Makas Medina. But the Iba Kablanusa, because if it's Kablanus, Rashi says there on Daf Kufhei, my Menaka Ika, Mashi Yimsu Yachloku. It only produces a small amount, so you're only going to have to give a little amount. That's Rashi. If you look in the Rambam seems to apply that Mishnah to both Chakranus and Kablanus, which, why would you say that? You know, if it's produced less, then, but and isn't that against Rav Papa? Right, Rav Papa says, if you look in the Rambam, the Evan Ha'azal points this out, Perek Ches, Halacha Tes, Halacha Hey, I'm sorry, Ches Hey of Hilchas Chiris, the Rambam starts off, telling you the Halacha, Makas Medina, Hasocher O HaMekabel, Sada Mechavero. HaMekabel usually means, right, Kablanus, take it literally, not just Chakronus. So that is the question of the Magen Mishnah already. The Magen Mishnah says, V'tema, Eich Chasav Rabbeinu HaMekabel. How does the Rambam write Makabel? The whole issue of the whole field getting flooded and he shouldn't have to pay the landowner, why should that apply? He has no produce, so of course he's not going to have to pay. Right? So that Mishnah shouldn't be telling us anything about Kablanus. So Vitema, why does the Rambam mention it? V'ulai, says the Magen Mishnah, Mipnesha Lashana Mishnah Kahikach. HaMekabel achaz lashon haMishnah upirusho makabel beskiris o bechakiris mikomakam hayelo levayer. It says maybe blame it on the Mishnah. The Mishnah uses lashon makabel. So I'm just quoting the language of the Mishnah, even though halachically kablanus doesn't really mean that. So maybe that's what it means. The Evan Ha'azel, Rav Isher Zalman says, well, maybe it's similar to what Tosva says here, because that Mishnah is really an outgrowth from this Mishnah. So when he says the first two Mishnayos, this is included. Just like Tosfos says, the Kishem in the first Mishnah is an outgrowth of the first line, where there is no difference. So to hear, the Rambam would understand that there is no difference between that Mishnah, Makas Medina, is an outgrowth, is a continuation of our Mishnah that we already had, and that's why he could apply it to both, and it could fit in to Rav Papa as well. Okay, so two Rishonim that apply Rav Papa in a different way than it maybe sounds like on the surface. Good, we continue. Im Amar Lo Chakar Li Sada Beis Hashlachin Zeh V'Chulu. But the Seifa says, if the Choker, if the sharecropper is in the field and says, I want this field,
I want this. And then the well dries up, and then the tree gets cut down, then he can deduct, because he obviously wanted this one, even though he didn't make it tznai explicitly. Says the Gemara V'Yamai. Why do we say that? Because he says he wants this base hashlachin, he wants this ste ilan. Maybe that's just what it's called. Le malay, shma ba'alma amri lacha. Maybe all he means by that is not that he specifically only wants this if the tree is still existent. Maybe people just call it that. This is the field of trees. Right? It doesn't mean that he's dafka taking it for the trees. Milo Tanya, didn't we have a brisa that gives another three examples where you can have something that's called something, even though it doesn't really mean that. Even though the name is really not appropriate for the item. A man says to his friend, I'm going to sell you an area of a base kur of land. Even though it only has half a kur of area. Unless it's half a kur, he giyu. The sale still goes through for the half. Why? Shalomachalo elishma. Right? Because he sold the field that has this name for who the miskari by base kur. And we're talking about everybody calls this field the base kur field. Maybe originally, Rabbi Yohanan says in the Shulchan Aruch says, maybe originally it was part of a larger field, and that's why it's called the base kur field. But even though right now it doesn't have that amount, still that sold half a kur, and obviously it's only if everybody calls it this. That's what the Rabbi Yohanan says in the Shulchan Aruch says. The whole city calls it this. Shekein shem asadim if he kol b'nei ha-medina. Gabi karem, fi efshar shem yimei kedem ha-yisham, karem or paradis, we'll get to these in a second, b'nei shem. O shema al shem she'oso karka ro'i l'karem al-paradis yimonim yosem yizriya. Whatever the reason is, people call it this, even though it's not really true about this land. But it's good enough, and therefore, half of it is sold. Or another example. Pardes ani mochalacha. I'm selling you skipped one. Karmani mochalacha. Right? I'm selling you a vineyard. Afalpi shein bo gefanim. Higiyu. Right? Even though there are no real vines that are growing in there, still, it used to be. Shlomachalo elishma, vahudim iskari karma. As long as everybody calls it a karim. Pardes ani mochalacha. I'm selling you an orchard. Afalpi shein bo rimonim higiyu. Shlomachalo elishma. He sold him the field that has this name, vahudim iskari pardesa. And people call it a pardes, an orchard. So what do you see from those three examples? Alma, omar le, shma ba alma amilacha. Right, he could say, I sold you this field, even though the name is not really true, but it's good enough because that's what it's called. So hachanamis, maybe in our Mishnah too. Why in the Seifa do we say that the sharecropper has the upper hand? Because he said, why don't we just say he called it that? That's its name, but he doesn't mean to connect it to that item. Right, that's the kasha. Why do we say that? The Ritva again points out, it's not an exact parallel. Not an exact parallel, says the Ritva. V'im tomar mi dami, ha'asom shiny, to b'shasha machar lo'hayabo gefen v'rimon. In the case that we just quoted of the vineyard or the orchard, there are no rimonim when you buy it. So there you could understand it's going by the name. And he doesn't need the rimonim because he sees there are no rimonim right now. There are no vineyards. In our case, the well, the spring exists. And the tree exists, and now later on something changed? That's not so equal. So how can the Murray have that comparison? Right? Then one, in our Mishnah, it exists now. So maybe the Eretz Bedafka. The Yishlomer says the Ritva, it's a kol shekein. The hacha b'chol dechein parchinan. The kivan, the hasam, the havi salket daitach shachai vlasis lo karam l'shaito, arminin de mistaya de l'skari hachi. Over there, where you might say that he has to give him a karam, but we say no. Koshkin hacha, the bishas atznai sheho ridu l'tocho, hayubo b'yis ha-shlachin. The sagile b'hachi, ve'en lo lahamido kein la'olam. What, forever and ever? Over there, in the case where we say he never has to give it, so surely what? Here he has to be forever? It's two extremes. You're not going to say, one case he never has to give it, in one case he always has to give it. So, he had it for a little bit. That should be good enough. That's the comparison that the Gemara makes. But either way, back to the Gemara. Gemara says, how do we know in the Seifa that it is specific? So the Gemara has two answers. Amar Shmuel, answer number one, lo kasha. Hada amar le machkir lechoker, hada amar le choker lemachkir. It depends who's talking. Amar le machkir lechoker, if the machkir is the one that's saying, this is what I'm selling, beish lochin zeh, shma ba'am amar le. Then you could say, the owner is just calling it by its name. That's the machkir. Amar le choker lemachkir, but if the choker, the sharecropper himself is saying, I want Then we say he's saying it for a specific reason, and therefore you take it literally. Answer number one. Answer number two. Ravina Amar Idi Veidi to Amar LeMachir LeChoker. Really, both cases the Machir is talking to the Choker, and if it wouldn't be like the cases of the Braisa, fine, you might say it's not literal. But what's going on in our Mishnah? Since he says zeh, it must be they're standing in that field. He's saying zeh always means, we mention this often, zeh always means you can point to it. Right? Bineinu zeh soer moreh. When the Torah uses the word zeh, it means you can point to it with clarity. Ben soer moreh. The parents say bineinu zeh. Hachodesh hazeh lochem. Right, what happens? So Moshe, Chazal say, had difficulty with understanding with the moon. So Hashem sows in the moon. Hachodesh hazeh lochem. Right, and the it all comes from the Chazal. Rashi quotes in the beginning of Parshas Matos, where Rashi quotes that all other Nevi'im were misnabe biko koamar Hashem. Moshe Rabbeinu was misnabe bezeh. Why? Because zeh reflects clarity of vision. Moshe was the only one with aspaklaria hameira, unlike the other Nevi'im, who saw it in a trance and saw it when they were sleeping and saw it without their faculties. Moshe was zeh clearly. By the menorah, it also said zeh. Why? Because there's clarity, and that's Zeh HaDavar by the beginning of Parshas Matos. So that's here. So if they're standing in the field, it's obviously that they're pointing to it, saying Zeh. So therefore, Beis HaShlachan Lam LeMeimar. So what do you have to say anything for? Just say this field. Why are they explicating what it is? So to Ka'amar Le, Beis HaShlachan get the Kaima Hashta. So it must be, if they're adding on that Lashon, even though they're standing in there, it must be, it's literal, and he wants it as is, not if something changes as was. Right, he wants it as is right now forever and ever. Okay, let's continue. There's one interesting hosafa we're talking about. Do you take phrases and words literally? Sometimes we have phrases that Klal Yisrael uses, but it's not literal, but it's to teach us something. The fact that sometimes say Pukhazi Mayama Dabar, go see what Klal Yisrael do and say how they refer to things. So sometimes there are mistakes, and the post can talk about whether there are mistakes. But one of the classic examples is Shalosh Shudis. As I said, what's Shalosh Shudis? Shalosh Su'udos. Right? Klal Yisrael, outside of Eretz Yisrael, not Su'udas Shlishit, which means the third meal, but the Yiddish way, so to speak, of saying it is Shalosh Shudis, Shalosh Su'udos, which means three meals. So why do we call the third meal three meals? It should be the third meal. Shalosh Su'udos. So you might say, okay, doesn't mean, well, where did that come from? Shalosh Su'udos. So the Chidah is quoted as saying, others maybe as well earlier, but the first two meals of Shabbos, they're not really megala that I'm so hungry or I'm doing it l'shem shemayim. On Friday, I had a busy day. I didn't eat so much, so I eat Friday night. Shabbos day, I come home after a long davening, and I'm going to eat some shalom de kugel. Okay. But, you know, so, is that l'shem shemayim? Not so clear that it's l'shem shemayim. The first two meals can be because I'm hungry. The third meal, generally, person's not so hungry to eat shalosh shudis. Right? They could wait another couple hours. But they dafka go and wash and eat. That third meal, if I eat the third meal, it's megala that all three meals were l'shem shamayim. That's why this meal is called all three meals. Because that's megala on the first two meals that even those were l'shem shamayim. The Aruch HaShulchan writes, very scary words, the Aruch HaShulchan, who's known as a defender of Klal Yisrael, following the lead of Reb Levi Yitzchak. Right? Wherever he can defend Klal Yisrael, he says, this is why they do this, this is why they do that. But every couple of halachos, not every couple, but once in a while, he screams. And he says, oh, it's terrible! And you know what? When he says it's terrible, you know, one has to, open up. So that by Shalosh Shudis, Su'udas Shlishit, he said, Asid Litei Nesadin. Those who don't take Su'udas Shlishit seriously, meaning those who don't watch by Shalosh Shudis. Right? He says, the Shulchan Aruch says it, the Ramah says it, all the Rishonim say it, Rov Rishonim say it. So he says, Asid Litei Nesadin. A couple of halachas where the Aruch HaShulchan says it, is very serious. But again, this is an example where we have a phrase that's not meant to be taken literally, but it teaches us something, right? And one might also say, they're both actually from Chutz Laaretz, the menorah, right? In Eretz Yisrael, the Chanukiah is called the Chanukiah, while in Chutz Laaretz, generally, people call their menorah a menorah. In Eretz Yisrael, oh no, only the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash is the menorah, right? And everybody in their homes, it's the Chanukiah. So where did it come from that sometimes people call it menorah? I'm not saying that this is what should be done. I'm just saying the reality, right? Shalosh Shudis, you could call this Mikdash Shlishit. There's nothing wrong with calling it one or the other. And menorah, why? Because there's a lot of halachos that are paralleled after the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash. So even if you want to say, that's the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash, but our Chanukiah has six or seven halachos that are paralleled after the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash. Maybe that's also where it might have come from. But again, it talks about the language that we sometimes call things and whether it is reality or not. That's what this brisa was about. Okay, we continue now. Says the Mishnah. So, Repapa says this is the next Mishnah that only applies by one, not the other. Let's see. Says the Mishnah. Hamakabos adam echavera bahovira. So this is a Mishnah that we've referred to earlier in the Masechta. We'll see where. Somebody is a sharecropper, accepts a field to work for their friend, and they leave it fallow. They don't work it. So again, if this is chakirus, so who cares? You have a fixed amount to make, so you have to give that fixed amount. But what if it was kavlanis? I have to give you a percentage, and then I'm at fault. I didn't work the land. Vahovira. So shaminosa kamaru yalasas vinosinlo. So you figure out how much what would it have produced, and whatever percentage you agreed upon of that production, that's what you have to give. Shikako sevlo, because after all, that's the agreement. Im over velo evid ashalim b'meitva. If I leave it fallow and I don't work it, and therefore, I'm going to have to pay you, Ashalim v'meitva, I'm going to have to pay you everything that I owe you. That's the Mishnah. Says the Chashuk Yechemen has one case here. What about if, just mention the case, because we have get back to the Gemara, Sheila. Ma'isa be'echa sheskris yirasa l'chodeshav. Person rents out his apartment, and he tells the renters, you know what, water my plants. Make sure you water my plants, because if you don't water my plants, they're going to die. And they were busy every day. It was a summer apartment. They went on Tulim every day, and they came back, and they were tired. They forgot. Lamaisa, the plants died. Right? So, similar type of case. He didn't work the land that he was supposed to do. Does he have to pay? So Pashas, he does have to pay. Right? He's a Shomer Sachar, so to speak. And therefore, he goes through the, but he compares it to our case here, where he let a life out. Says the Gemara, Remeir hayadorish lashon hedyot. We're about to have five examples of the following concept, where there is a language used, it was similar to what we just discussed, actually, right? Where there were people use a certain language in shtaros, and even though, you know, you might know that the Torah doesn't demand something like that is written, but because you use this language, we darshan your language and we say this is what you meant. Here we go. Remeir Haidarish Lashon Hedyot. Remeir Darshan Lashon Hedyot. Titanya. Remeir Omer. Our Mishnah. But this is quoting from the Tosefta, but it's the case of our Mishnah. That's why this is here. Im Omer Velo Evin Ashalim Emeitfa. If I don't work this land, I am definitely going to have to pay. I'm going to have to pay you and make it up. Once the Ether is shown him, why is that a Chiddush? You committed. There's a Chid. Each one of these, we're going to see, there's a Chiddush Gadol. Each of these statements that I wouldn't have thought that this is what we do, but this is what we do. So on the first one, though, all the Rishonim ask, you're mechayev yourself. What's the chiddush? Says the Tosas Rid, it's grama b'nizakin, right? You're damaging. It's grama. So usually passing grama b'nizakin is pater. That's the chiddush. Min hadin haya shalo yitin lo klum. Says the Tosas Rid. Shezeh shahover sadeyu eino ela grama ba'alma shalo hiziku biyadayim. Ela shemachma zeh halashon shakasav lo nischayev l'shalem. He says, if I don't pay you, if I don't do this, I'm going to have to pay you. So he's going above and beyond what the Torah would demand, but we take his words literally, and therefore he has to pay. And then the Tosfos Rid says, v'kach misparshim kula. That's how they all are explained. That's the Tosfos Rid. If you look at the Tosfos says here, even if it wasn't written. Look at Tosis. Actually, look at Rashi first. First Rashi on the Gemara. Dorish Lashon Hedyot. Shehergilu Hedyotos Lichtov. Shaloka Takanas Chachamim. This is the minhag that people write. The rabbis didn't tell them to do it this way. Hayadorish Lashon Lifsok Hadin Acharav. Right? We would still understand the words and carry it halacha based on the words. So now look at Tosis. Hayadorish. Lashonos Shalotiknu Chachamim Lichtov. El Hedyotos Ergulu Lakosvan Hayadorish. Fiafilu Lokasav. Ki'ilu nechtav. That's the chiddush of Tosfos. Tosfos read, even though it's grama. Tosfos, even though it's not written. Even though they didn't write it, still. Rabbi Hananel in the Ramban says, who's talking here? It's Rabbi Meir. Remember, Rabbi Meir is the one that needs Mishpatei Atznayim, that needs the conditions, Tanai called him Lamaisa, and Hayden called him Lalav, and the Tanai Kafel, we discussed this a few weeks ago. So even Rabbi Meir would say this is good, even though usually it requires Tanai Kafel, and all the other Mishpatei Atznayim, that's the Chiddush. The Ramban himself just adds to help explain this concept, just like we darshan Mishnayos and Gemara and we're Medayik. So that's what it means. Do reish lashon hedyot. Medaktikim b'lashon hedyotos, shekosvim b'shtarosayim, v'darshan osam, kemo shei medaktikim b'divrei Torah. V'darshan osam v'lo pshutan. Right, you darshan it. Right, even though this is not maybe even what the kavana was. Remember, I had one teacher in college. I had an English composition course. And it was all about writing things and darshaning poems and sonnets and all this. And I did the first one. I had to explain it. And I didn't do so well on the first one. I remember I asked the teacher, I said, what are you looking for? And the teacher said, well, you know, you analyze the Talmud. So, you know, analyze these poems like you analyze the Talmud. So the next one, I wrote this 3-page, you know, every word. Mom is not what the author meant, but every letter and word. And, you know, she loved it and it was great. Okay. But there was an MS. But either way, Lamaisa, we continue. Says Rameyer, that's darshaning Lashon Hedyo. But obviously this is Chazal new and understood deeper of what people's ideas was. There's Derech Agav also. If you remember, the Rambam discusses in the context of Shemitah. We know by Shemitah there are different svaras given to what the message of Shemitah's karka is. The Rambam gives an idea that the other Rishonim aren't so comfortable with. Well, it's good for the land to have a year off. It's good for the land every couple of years to have a year off. The question is that really reality in all farming issues? Right here, it would be a good thing. I'm over below Evid. Right, if I don't work it, but it sounds like that it's not going to be something positive for the field. Why do we continue? Number two, Rabbi Yehuda Hayadari Shloshon Hedyot, Titania, Rabbi Yehuda Darshins. The Braisa says, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Adam may be carbon ashir al ishto, v'chei kol carbon v'carbon. Rabbi, a person has to bring a carbon for his wife. V'chein kol carbon v'carbon shi chayeves. Every carbon the wife is chayev, the husband has to pay for, and the husband has to bring. Shekach kosev law, because this is what he writes. Achrayis v'isblach alai min kadim is dinah. This is what the earlier ksubas had that lashon. Any achrayis that you have is on me. Even min kadim is dinah. Even karbanos that she owed before they got married. Even earlier karbanos. And karbanos that have nothing to do with him. The Tosfos read again here says, Lav dafka kine zava v'yoledes d'shayach baal behu. Ela filu achla chelav achil l'shabes. D'lo shayach behu. Right, that's the Chiddush of the Tosfos. Read again, Karbanos, that have nothing to do with her. The Tosfos here adds, Sara'as, Shiei Truma, right, Lishtos B'yayinim, He Nazira, right, all different Karbanos. Again, even though it doesn't say Karbanos specifically, the wife, his responsibilities go to the husband. The Tosfos, the Shumas Hadeshen, there's a Shumas Hadeshen that's quoted in the Ramah in Evan Ezer. The Shumas Hadeshen has the following case. What if a woman violated something, and there's a fine that the community accepted that whoever violates has to pay this fine? Hakala sutakana aleza davar. Reish pei beis in Shumas Hadeshen. Ve'emidu knas. Shekol mi sheyavar hein isha isha yiknas b'kaf akad l'tztaka. Ve'avar la takana isha sheish labal. Ve'en la klum chus mi baila. Chayev baila l'shalim b'shvila olav. The woman, parking tickets. Right, whatever it is, right? If the woman, does the husband have to pay for all his wife's faults financially? Says the Shumas Hadeshen. Yireh, well, where would you look in Shas? Right here. Yireh, the Dabar Zetzorach Tiktuk Sas. Perak HaMakabel, Isa, he quotes our Darshing Lashon Hedyot, and then he quotes the Yerushalmi, that's what the Tosfos Rid was quoting, Och L'Chelev Chil HaShabes, V'yanir L'Adam most needed to don L'Tashlum Ekarban. The given Sha'av Ratakonis HaKol, V'yavira Gemura, so to hear, the kanami aval bisha emidu knasos lo itir bishul zel avar v'litena knas alef shem yavar b'chulu. And he continues, but then he says, well, maybe not. There's a difference between a mazid avera, which is more personal, and that's what the Mishnah says. The in Bava Kama, that's what the Noda. This is Truma Tzedesh is quoted in the Ramah. The Noda Yehuda is upset about it. The Noda Yehuda in Eved Ezer discusses the case of. Similar case. Al dvar eishes ish shezilzala beechad bidvarim im yecholam laonsha b'mamon yafeh hora she'ein baal achayev l'shalim avur haknas. The husband doesn't have to pay the fine. He says va'al yit'eh hatoeh, and don't be misled by what it says in Baba Metzia about our case. Why? Dezedafka ba'avra b'shogeg. That's if it's b'shogeg. And then the husband's responsible. Avalam avra b'mizida by lapater. De'im kein, ein ladav herself. If a woman hates her husband, she wants to get back on him, she'll do all these things, and the husband's going to have to pay and go broke. V'yafilu b'shogeg tamuol ha'ramah she'echlet kein. For the Taz wonders, the ein lahutzi mamun miyad abal. But l'mais avo b'zilzol ala adam yachado rabim miyachol lister mishna arucha in baba kama. She'isha she'chavo b'acher, remember, p'kiyas an ra, pei zayin, in baba kama. Katan and Isha that are mazik pikiyas on ra, right? So that's the case. V'amor lakof is bailo, litin knas, and anybody who forces the husband to pay, eino elan gazlon v'gozol mamon abal. Wow, he's very strong. But he says that's the, one has to know how to apply this case. What are we talking about here? Karbanos, she made a mistake, she was Machal Shabbos, she owes a karban chatas, bishogeg, and, ziva, and saras, v'chul. Okay, that was number two. Number three, Hela Zakane Dorish Lashon Ed Yodetanya, Andre Alexandria Makaches de Shosayan, unusual custom. Not really a custom, it was a terrible custom. The Andre Alexandria used to be Makadish, their wives, Ubishas Knizasan Lachuppa, and again, like in the days of the old Talmud, the two stages of marriage were separated in time. After Kiddushin, at the time of the Chuppa, Boy Nacherim Vechotvan Osamehem. Used to marry other men in the, by the Nisuin. They're going to say they're all mamzerim because after kiddushin you need a get to get out of kiddushin. They're going to go marry somebody else. Terrible. Hillel says, you know what? Bring me the ksubas. Let me see the ksubas. And Hillel saw in the ksuba they wrote. When we go to chuppah, then you'll be a wife. So Hillel says, you know what, how you could understand that? You could understand that as possibly like a tznai. Only if there's a chuppah, will the kiddushin be a kiddushin. So if there's never a chuppah, there's no kiddushin. That's how he saved all of these children from being mamzerim. I forgot to mention, the Ramban, on the first one, when we said, what's the chiddush? What's the chiddush? So Tosfos and the Tosfos read, and so the Ramban's lashon is, even though in all of these cases, you can interpret it differently. But we interpret it in a certain way for the good of society. Whatever the, so here, dafka, you see, to save the children from being mamzerim, that's obviously very important. Next, number four. Rabbi Shua Bekarcha, Hayadarish Lashon Hedyot. He also Darshan Lashon Hedyot. Machlokes, you remember in Psachim, on Daf, Kuf, Yud, Beis, Amid Aleph, whether Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha was the son of Rabbi Akiva. That's a machlokes. The Gemara there says that Rabbi Akiva had a son named Yehoshua. So is that Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha? Tosfos says one day a yes, then Tosfos says Chas v'Shalom. The Gemara would call Rabbi Akiva the bald one, even though there is a Gemara that he is called the bald one. But 2 days is whether this is the son of Rabbi Akiva. Okay. See, Darshan Lashon Hedyot also. Titania, Rabbi Shua ben Karcha Omer, Hamal v'eschaveiro. Somebody lends their friend money. Lo yimishkenenu, yoser michovo. You should not take a mashkon that's worth more than the chov itself. Shouldn't take a security. Why? Shikako sivlo. Because this is how they wrote. What do you mean wrote? I take a mashkon from you, but let's say I want to give the mashkon back to you. But I want to still have rights over the mashkon. So they would write a shtar that the malva would hold, that I really own your mashkon. And we would write in it that the mashkon, if you can't pay back, then I'm going to take the mashkon as the value of the security. That's what it says in the shtar. So that's why the mashkon shouldn't be worth more than the security. Shikako sevlo, tashlumta de isle chalai, this is what they used to write. The tashlumin, that you owe me, kol kabel dechi, which means it's equal in value to this security. Right? That's what they used to write, and that's why it shouldn't be worth more. The Gemara, though, darshins, time at the kasav lehachi, what the only reason that he has rights to the mashkon is because he wrote this, he lo kasav lehachi, lo kanya. What he wouldn't be able to, if he took a mashkon, right? The malva took a mashkon and then he gives it back. What, he loses his rights to that mashkon? V'yam Rabbi Yochanan, mishkino v'heshev lo mashkon v'meis. Well, the usual rule is, mitatli diasmi or not mishabi to the balchov. If a person dies, the movable items are not mishabi to the balchov. But Rabbi Yochanan already says that if you already took the mashkon once and gave it back, that doesn't apply. You can take that mashkon back. Mishkano v'eshav mashkon v'meis shomto mi'al gabi banav. You can still take it. So ask the Gemara, what was the whole purpose of writing the shtar anyway? Right? Once a person takes a mashkon, then he has rights to it, even if the lova would die. So, says the Gemara, ahani ksiva l'giraon. No, it would help for a giraon, meaning if the mashkon goes down in value. If it depreciates, so then you'd only be able to take the mashkon back if the father had died. And not no other metaltolin. But if you write this, so then that value you could even take from other metaltolin of the Yisomim, right? That's how it would That's how it would help. And if you remember, we had a couple of weeks ago the major sugya of Mashkon back on Daf Pei Beis, where Reb Yitzchak is quoted, Baal Chov Kone Mashkon, and what exactly does that mean? What level of kinyan is that? Rashi there says even Chiv Onsin, Tosfos argued, Shomer Sachar, right, different levels of Chiv Onsin, various nafkaminas, including Baal Yira, Baal Yimatzei, the Gemara in the first parak of Psachim, various nafkaminas in terms of Mashkon. Good. Number five, fifth and last one. Reb Yossi Ayidarish Lashon Hedyo Tatanya. Reb Yossi Badarshan Lashon Hedyo. Reb Yossi Omer. Makam Shenagu Lasos Ksuba Milve Gove Milve. In some ksubas, they formulated everything. Ksuba here means the dowry that the woman brings into the marriage. They used to formulate it as a milve. So, in both ways, the father-in-law, meaning the woman's father, has an obligation, basically, to give everything that's written in to the husband, to bring it in, and the husband, the son-in-law, can say, hey, where's my stuff? It's like a milve. But also, in the case of death or divorce, the husband has to give, make sure it all goes back. But it's like a milve. Right? So that's the language of what Reb Yossi means here. So again, Makam Shenagu Lasos Ksuba Milveh, Gove Milveh. Lichpo, in a case where we had this back in Ksuba, sometimes they would write double the amount of the dowry in the Ksuba just to show love and how much affection. So Gove Mechsas, then obviously he'd only be able to be Gove half. Nar Bloi, Gove Tilta, because they used to write it triple. They used to triple it in the Ksuba. Mareimar Magvi Nami Shivcha. Mareimar would even be Magve, the exaggerated amount, the Shevach. Didn't we say you always have what's written? Because what's written inside is not literally what was meant to be brought in. Depends if a kinyan chalipin was done. If a chalipin was done on this amount, so then that's it. That amount is nikneh and is meshubad, even though it's against the minhag. Ravina mishabech v'kasev labarte. Ravina used to add on and exaggerate and give it right in for his daughter in the ksuba a very large amount. Amrule nikneh mineh demar. So the son-in-law said, the son-in-law's family said, you know, could you do a kinyan chalipin on that? Ravina says, no. Amr lehu, imikna lo michbal. Imichba lo mikna. I'll do one or the other. You know, you want me to double in the ksuba, I'm not doing a kinyan chalipin on that. If you want me to do a kinyan chalipin, I'm not going to write anything, because it'll just be the regular amount. So this is the end of the sugya of darshaning lashon hedyot, where Chazal said that because people write this, so it must have significance. Right, there is a parallel gemara in Maseches Sanhedrin. Maseches Sanhedrin doesn't use this lashon, but the Gemara in Sanhedrin, if you remember, back on Daf Zayin, sure, we'll get there next year sometime, the Gemara in Sanhedrin Daf Zayin, Darshins, Chazal, pick up on folk sayings that the Hamon Am say. And they say, oh, that folk saying, oh, it's based on this pasuk. Also, they value what people say. Says the Gemara, Hahu Dabi Kamar Va'azil. People used to say, Atarti Tlas Ganva Lo Miktal, on two or three times, the Ganav is not caught. But the fourth time, you know, you just wait. People used to say that eventually he's going to be Amar Elish Wolder of Yehuda Kratziv, and he quotes a pasuk from Amos. And then he said that, people say, Shev Biri L'Shalemna V'Chad Levet Bish, seven pits, and then they quote a pasuk, Shev Yipol Tadav Akam, all of these different sayings, right, including the one towards the end, when we were really in love, we could lie on the edge of a needle together, and there'd be plenty of room. If we're not feeling connected to each other, we can have a bed 60 amos wide, and it won't be big enough for the both of us. Right? That's what people say. Samrafuna Kreitziv. It's a pasuk. It says, "V'no adiz l'chasham midibartiz chami alak aparas." Hashem's going to come very close to us, and then later on, it talks about Hashemayim kisiv aharas adom ragloi ezavais. Right, Hashem, where should I rest? So again, what is the message of this Gemara? So Rav Soloveitchik writes in one of his articles in Reflections of the Rav that Chazal saw the Pintel Yid has certain chachma and expresses something that even though it doesn't look like it. The name of the chapter is The Profundity of Jewish Folk Wisdom. Right? That's the message. You can't say it better than that. Right? Inside the wisdom, it is likely that Shmuel and Rav Huna introduced these popular adages in order to fortify their position. Whatever, it continues. Chazal had great respect for the intuitive metaphors of the common man, who, the formerly uneducated, absorbs truisms from the Torah setting in which he lives. often manages to grasp perceptions which are well-grounded in the tradition. Right? And maybe it's based on the learning all of Torah in utero, right? But that's similar to our case. Here we're talking about writing. There we're talking about saying. But it's a parallel idea. Let's continue. Story. Ho gavra da amar lehu, havalu arba me'azuzi labarti b'ksubasa, a man on his deathbed. Rashi says, mitzavet machmas misa. Right? He says, give my daughter 400 zuz. So the question is that the doubled amount, or is that what should be written in the ksuba, right? What does he mean here? 400, which is 800, or 400, which is 200? As we just said, they used to write the double amount of the dowry in the ksuba. So, shalach rav acha, bered rav avi, lakami, rav ashi. Arba mea di'inun, timne mea? Does this 400 really mean 800? So she gets 400? I arba mea zuze di'inun masan. Or does it mean we should write 400 and only give her 200? Right? We don't know what he meant. To Amar Ravashi Chazinan. Two days. First, Ravashi says, see, I Amar Havula. If he said, give her, so then Arba Meazuzi, Di'inun Timne Mea. That means give her 400, that means write 800. I Amar Ksuvula. If he said, write it, then Arba Meazuzi, Di'inun Masan. That means write 400 and only give her 200. That's one version. Ika da Amre, or Amar Ravashi Chazinan. I Amar Liksubasa. Then for her ksuba, arba mea zuze dinan timne mea. That means 400, but you should write 800. The amar big subasa with a bays, not a lamed. Then arba mea zuze dinan masan. Right, then it's 400, which is really 200, because it says big subasa. And those are two days. Then the Gemara says velohi. The Rush says velohi. We reject the Mishnah Kama, the Mishnah Basra, loshna damar big subasa, loshna damar big subasa, arba mea zuze dinan masan, ata amar havula stama. Right, so to speak. Right, the lower amount until he says give. Period. Next story. Ho gavret dekabel arame chavre amar imo varnala yavina lecha alfe zuze. Similar case to our Mishnah, but instead of saying I'll give you the value, he says if I don't work it, I'll give you 1,000, which is a lot more. Over tilta, and he left over a third of it. A third of it he did not work. So Ami Nardoi. Nardoi thought, Dinahu de Yavle, Tlas Meyav, Tlasin, Vitlas of Itulta. He has to pay 333 and a third. Because he guaranteed that he was gonna work. If he doesn't work it, he's gonna have to give 1,000. So he didn't work a third, so he has to pay a third. Rava Amar, Asmachtahi. The Asmachta Lokanya. Like the fourth time we've had this in this Masechta. We haven't had it in a couple of prakim. Asmachta, what is an asmachta? A commitment today based on a future event that I don't think is going to happen. And therefore, I am not really committed to it, and therefore, it is not nikne in halacha. Rashi writes that all over Shas, that definition. I read it to you this time from the Rashbam. The Rashbam in Baba Basra, Kuf Samaches, Hamaftiach lechaveiro, Davar, Al menas sheyaase Davar laatid. You promise to do something in the future. V'somech b'libo, b'shas atznai, sheyuchal l'kayim adover. K'shiyegi azman, you expect to do it. U'k'shiyegi azman, ye'anes v'lo yuchal l'kayim. So, it doesn't happen. Lo kanya. It doesn't work. V'eino nitvas b'tna'o v'lo yafsid b'kach. Right, we have this back on top. And look what the Rashbam says. Look in Ezeo Neshach Samach Vav and Perak HaMakabo Daf Kuf Dalet. Right here. Our Gemara. Right, so, Rava says he doesn't have to pay anything. Even though he promised to give 1,000. Says the Gemara, so what does Rava do with our Mishnah? Ula Rava, Mishnah mehad etzan. Our Mishnah, Omer vo eved ashan b'meitva. In our Mishnah, he says, if I don't work the land, I'm going to have to pay you. Says the Gemara, simple. Hasam in our Mishnah, lo kagazim. He doesn't exaggerate. He just says, if I don't work the field, I'll pay you the value of the field, or the produce that's supposed to come. Hacha. But in our story, Kiva Tekamra Milsa, Yisei Rasa, Guzma Baamu Tekagazim. Because he says a crazy number, much more than what he would be committing to, so we assume he is not serious. Period. Okay, now we have two more opposite stories, and then we'll have to continue with Asmachta. Ho gavret dekabel ara l'shem shemei, a person gets a field to plant sesame in. Sesame is very valuable, but it causes damage to the field. So it's good and bad. It's very valuable because it's damage to the field. Zarachiti, and instead the guy planted wheat, which saves the hezek to the field, but adachiti k'shem shemei, but it was a super wheat. Production, and it produced the exact same value that he would have gotten from the sesame. So, Rav Kahana thought, well, you know what he could do? The worker saved the owner from land damage by not planting shumshamin, so he should have to give him less, because he saved damage. So, Amar le Rav Ashi, Rav Kahana, no, Amri Inshi, Kach Sha'ara, V'olich Hashmara. People say, let the land get weaker, but don't let people get weaker. Meaning, you gotta pay in full. It doesn't matter. That was a added benefit that the owner gets, but because it produced the same amount as the sesame, you have to give that amount to the owner. And the opposite. Who gathered the kabbal arla shumshimi zara chiti of the chiti tfei. Not the opposite, but different. Of the chiti tfei min shumshimi. What is the same thing? He accepted to pay shumshimi and the chitin did even more profit. So there, savra vino lamemar yovli shifcha de bene bene. Right? He thought that the worker could keep the extra. Right, so give him the amount that it was supposed to be, but the extra that I get. So Amalei Rav Chaya did to the Ravina again. Atu hu ashbach, ara lo ashbacha. The land also had a lot to do with it, and therefore the landowner gets the extra. Right, you can't hold that for yourself either. Okay, we'll have to stop here. We'll get back a little bit to some ribbis issues coming up as we continue here in Parak HaMakabel, the ninth parak.